Turn this morning, if we could, be Galatians and Romans 10. Galatians. Book of Galatians, chapter 3, Romans chapter 10. Okay, Galatians chapter 3, starting with verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you: received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Obvious answer to that question is the hearing of faith, right? You got saved by faith. Let's look at Romans chapter 10. Now, I know you know this verse very well, many of you, but we're going to be talking about this for a while this morning. Romans chapter 10. In verse 17, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Lord, we thank you this morning for these folks that gathered. We think about those that are away, Anna and Caleb on a vacation, and the Jensen's traveling as well. I pray that you'd be with those folks, get them back safely, and keep them on the road and all those things. For those that are under the weather, suffering from a cold and that sort of stuff, pray you'd get them back on their feet. We appreciate those that have come this morning. We pray that if somebody's here lost, you'd help them to see their need for salvation. But Father, for all of us that are saved here, we have a deep need of this as well. And so I pray that you just might bless what's been prepared. May nothing be done that would grieve thy Spirit by anything that's said or done. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now this morning, I know these passages are familiar. And we kind of go back to some of the most rudimentary elemental things of Christianity. Sometimes folks wrestle with why God does things certain ways. And these are familiar passages, but we're going to deal with something out of it, I think, that actually is a help to me. And, you know, I knew some answers and stuff, but, you know, why God does stuff. Why does God do stuff the way he does stuff? Naturally, we all as men kind of tend to think that we have a better idea. Got to be careful with that, because you are not smarter than the Lord. But we have a tendency to think that, you know, if we had done it another way, it would work out better for us, and so on and so forth. And, of course, you're wrong if you think that. Lord says this, for instance, Isaiah 55, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. But this: for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. God is different than you. He may have made you originally in his own image. That much is true. But God is fundamentally in many ways different than you. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And so, when those thoughts enter, that just maybe it would have worked out a different way, a better way, had God done it your way, in all likelihood, in fact, in every likelihood, you're wrong about that. Now, I bring this up this morning because in Galatians chapter 3, you find once in verse 2, and then again once in verse 5, there's something called the hearing of faith. And then it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let me do this real fast. Now, everybody I'm sure here knows how you get saved. You get saved by what? Faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now then, there's also this. We walk by faith and not by sight. This is the side where somebody gets saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. That side over there is the Christian side, where we're called after we're saved to walk by faith and not by sight, right? Now you read Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now I know this is really familiar and elemental, but I need you to think about that for a little while this morning. And whether you get saved, and when you get saved, or whether you're trying to figure out the Christian life, both of those things are carried out in faith. You get saved by faith, and you walk by faith after you are saved. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, I want you to focus this morning on this right here, hearing. I say focus on that because most of us have good ears. Now, Brother Doug, as you know, is deaf or nearly deaf, and so he's wrestled with that his entire life. But we've been given a lot of senses. We see things. We do hear things audibly. We taste things. We smell things. And we touch things. We can feel things. And you can maybe even add, through those senses, you experience things on a broader sense. You experience them. Did you ever stop to think that there are a ton of people that go to hell? Is that right? Does not the Bible says, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction? Many there be that go in thereat, and straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to life. I mean, most of the proportion of men on the face of this earth, but the vast proportion, die and go to hell. They die and go to hell without ever seeing anything. Do they see hell before they get there? Do they see anybody in hell before they get there? No. They don't taste anything that would change their destiny. They don't smell anything that would change their destiny. Nobody ever shows up from the dead in their bedrooms to grant them a picture of how awful hell is. They die and go to hell because what? They will not hear. And hearing the Word of God, they do not exercise faith and get saved. Right? There are a ton of saved people that get saved, and they're genuinely saved, but they, like me at 10 years old, didn't grow. And so they go through their adulthood, or in my case, part of my adulthood, without ever walking by faith. The Lord never let me see something to deepen my experience with Him. I never smelt anything. I never felt anything. I never was given a vision or a dream to experience anything. Conceivably, if I had never heard the Word of God taught me and taken heed to it, in spite of all my other senses, I would have gone through my entire adult life saved, but not victorious. Think about the Jews in the Old Testament. Here you have the Jews in the Old Testament, and they got a chance to see. I mean, the Lord, they got the chance to walk by sight, but it didn't help them in sight. In spite of sight, they still killed their Messiah. They still were defeated in the land. After their Messiah rose from the dead, they still didn't receive Him. So sight is not the answer. They did so because they didn't hear. And so I got thinking about this a little while here this week, and I got thinking, we have all these wonderful senses. Boy, I tell you what, you see stuff, and you hear stuff, and you smell stuff, and you touch stuff, and you experience stuff. Why wouldn't God allow those other senses to come into play? Why must it be by hearing? Again, importantly, a guy can die and go burn in hell and eventually the lake of fire forever and ever without having seen anything, right? Can you imagine a God that would allow somebody to go suffer forever in hell when, if he had just, when he thinks anyway, he had just seen it, experienced it, felt it, smelt it, he maybe would have changed his mind. But no, God confines things to hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You're saved by faith, you walk by faith. You get that faith by hearing, not seeing, not smelling, not experiencing, not feeling. Am I right? So, why by hearing? Why does God insist that this hearing thing be essentially the hallowed ground? Why does he sanctify that, set that up really as the only way? Why is that true? And I just wanted to talk about that for a little while. I mean, God is omniscient. God is omnipotent. God can do anything that he wants to, really, any way that he wants to. So if it were done that way, he could certainly grant to me or you or anybody you know a vision, a dream, like he once did in times of yore, and he could make those visions real. He could knock your eyes out with what you could see in that vision. If he wanted to, he could take you in real time in a vision to look upon the lake of fire, to look upon hell and see what's going on there. And yet he never does. He will allow a man to go to hell and suffer forever without seeing. You ever think about that? The same thing is true of feeling. I mean, surely, you know, God is able, if he chooses, to put in me a horror and a panic, to deal with my emotions and feelings, to make me afraid, so that although I might not be able to explain it, I would get saved to avoid going to a place like that where I would feel like that. But he doesn't. The Lord confines the, I guess, sacred ground to hearing. He insists that it's hearing. It's not seeing. It's not feeling. It's not experiencing. It's healing. It's hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God has designated that as holy ground, not seeing, not feeling, not experiencing. Okay? Why is that? Why is that? We naturally enough probably feel that if we saw something real enough, that it would change our minds, right? Give me something to knock my eyes out that I can't deny that I saw. Give me a vision, give me a dream, and I'll believe. We just naturally think if that were granted, that I'd believe if I saw it. Or if I felt it, that I'd believe. If the Lord, for instance, gave me 20 seconds of the agony that is in hell forever and ever for lost souls, that surely suffering that just for that very brief period of time, that I would respond to that and would respond and get saved. But he doesn't ever do that for anybody. In fact, one guy that was in hell insisted that Abraham send somebody to tell his brethren who were still alive to not come here no matter what. And you know what Abraham said? He said, if they won't hear Moses and the prophets, they won't hear even though somebody rose from the dead. So he didn't get a different messenger. I mean, surely, if he could make the experience so real, I mean, I could say, oh, I was there, I saw it, I experienced it, I had felt it, just for a few moments, I never, ever, ever want to go there, and surely multitudes would get saved. But that's not how the Lord had it set up. He says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, instead of faith cometh by seeing. Our faith cometh by feeling. Our faith cometh by experiencing. You say, why? Why is it that way? I have an answer for you. Part of it rests in the nature of God. We live in a physical world. It's temporal. It's material. And we are in the flesh. And so we tend to want to sense things and feel, experience things in the flesh. We are flesh. Our senses are flesh. And because we get accustomed to dealing with things in the flesh, we kind of want things to come at us through the flesh. But the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's where we go wrong. God is different than you. Take your Bible, and there's going to be a flurry of verses here for just a couple minutes. Look in John chapter 4. John chapter 4. You know why God insists, why God has set forth and does not vary from it, that the way you get saved is by faith, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God, and after you are saved, that you walk by faith, and that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. He doesn't let you see we walk by faith and not by sight. He doesn't let you feel. He doesn't let you experience. He says faith cometh by hearing. Do you know why that is? It's based on how God is. It's based on the nature of God. Look in John chapter 4, verse 24. Just one verse here, for though there's a context for these purposes. Notice verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Okay, God is a spirit. Now don't fiddle-faddle with the new versions, because God is not spirit. The new versions say God is spirit. No, God is a spirit, okay? If you say God is spirit, that means that everything that is spirit is God, and that's not true. God is a particular spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. Now, God is more things than just a spirit, by the way. God is love. God is light. In Him is no darkness at all, right? Our God is a consuming fire. That much is true. And God is true. God is the truth. But for our purposes this morning, it's important to grasp that God is a spirit. He is not flesh like we are. God Himself. Now, God came in the flesh in Jesus Christ, but God is not primarily flesh. God is primarily a spirit, right? Now, you say, well, how does that matter? Well, give me just a couple of seconds to show you something. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 1. John 1, there's two things. First of all, this plays into the fact that God is a spirit. And secondly, it's this. John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word and God are the same. Now, God is a spirit, but the Word and God are the same. Is that right? Look in John 1, 14. Little flurry of verses here for just a minute. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh. Who is that? That's Jesus Christ. Now, was Jesus Christ, is Jesus Christ God? Yes. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word is God. So the Word was made flesh, verse 14, dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Okay, God is a spirit, and the Word of God is God. Look in Revelation chapter 19. I'll get to tying it together in just a minute. Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19, verse 13. Talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. It says there in verse 13, and He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. Okay, God has an intricate, intimate connection with the Word of God. The Word of God in Jesus Christ was God. God is the Word, Jesus Christ. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, Jesus Christ. Now, God's a spirit, and God is intimately connected with the Word of God. So, that explains why the Bible says, and God said, let there be light, and there was. Because God spoke words, Jesus Christ spoke words, and it was just so. It's power, right? He upholds all things by the word of His power. Now, with that stated, we can go on to the next thing a little bit. God's nature is to deal with words. Look at one more passage, if you would. John chapter 6. And we could do Bible study for quite a while on this, but let me just establish this and we can walk away and just talk about this. Look in John chapter 6, notice the intimate connection again. I've established that God is spirit, God is a spirit rather, and the Word of God. Notice John 6:63. What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Jesus Christ speaking of himself, right? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. Did you see that? Words are spirit. Now, God is a spirit. God is the Word. This explains some things. It's the nature of God to deal with men in words. Why must it be by hearing? Because God deals in words. God is a spirit that deals in words. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the words of God. Faith doesn't come by seeing. Faith doesn't come by feeling. Faith doesn't come by experiencing. Faith cometh by hearing, because that's how God is. God is a spirit. God is the Word of God. That's how God is. And God insists on dealing with His fallen creation in that way. It's the nature of God. God deals with men in words, not seeing or feeling. God was created. Man was created in the image of God. One time, you would have been more like Him than you are now. And so you're now standing and sitting here in your fallen flesh. And man, do you like to see? And man, do you like to feel? And boy, do you like to experience something before you believe it. But that's not how God is. God insists that you must come His way. And His way is via words. And those words, you're to hear. And from the hearing, you get faith. And by grace, you're saved through faith. And we walk by faith and not by sight. It's the nature of God. The reason it is this way is because that's how God is. There is no other way. So lost men miss salvation because they don't see enough or feel enough or experience enough before they go. And saved men tend to desire to walk by sight, or walk by feeling, or walk by experiencing, rather than taking God at His Word and going that route. And God hath ordained, there is no compromise whatever. God hath ordained that faith cometh by hearing. Not seeing, not experiencing, not feeling, by hearing. And if you won't hear, you won't go to heaven. And if you won't hear, you won't grow after you are saved. So first of all, it has to do with the nature of God. Secondly, I can point this out to you. Look in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. No, Romans chapter 10. I'm sorry. Not very far apart. Romans chapter 10. Now, you've already been here this morning. That's fine. It says, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In the Bible, the Word of God is something special. The Word of God, first of all, was a real person in that in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, Jesus Christ was God, Jesus Christ was, is the Word, and so it's a person. Bible says, for instance, that regarding the Word of God, that the Lord, that the creation is framed by the Word of God. That is the framing of this building. All you see from here is sheetrock. On the outside you see brick and siding. But in those walls are 6-inch studs, and that's the frame of the building. Well, you look around and you see the universe and you say, well, those are stars and those are trees and that's grass. Those things are framed by the Word of God. He frames it by the Word of God. That's what the Word of God is. The Word of God is an entity. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is an entity. It's something special. In Ephesians 6, it's the sword of the Spirit. It is a distinct entity in itself. You say, why is that important? It's important because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, let's just do an experiment here. You believe what you believe. Why? Because not what you saw and not what you experienced primarily, or not what you felt primarily. You heard the truth from the Bible, and so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Okay. Let's just say, for purposes of discussion, that faith cometh by seeing. What would you have to see to get saved? There's a problem, because the Lord said, no man can see me and live. What exactly is that you would have to see before you had faith? If faith came by seeing, what would seeing come by? Well, you can't see God. No man can see God and live. And no man hath seen the Father at any time, right? So what would you have to see? What would God have to give you as a vision that would be uniform across the board, that you would see to believe? And I don't think you can think of anything. The Bible says regarding seeing, start the verse in my mind. Let me just look at my note here for a second. I hath not seen. I don't know why I couldn't start it. I hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered the hearts of the sons of men the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Man hasn't seen. If faith came by seeing, what would you have to see? It'd be kind of tough to come up with. If faith came by feeling, what would feeling come by? What would you have to feel before it was sufficient to get saved? The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. How often have you been misled by your feelings? He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. If faith came by feeling, what exactly would it be that you would have to feel before you could get saved? If faith came by experience, what would experience come by? I mean, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. What would experience come? If faith came by experience, what would you have to experience exactly that would be uniform for all of us, that would convince you to get saved? And there is no uniform answer, because there just is no answer to faith. If faith cometh by seeing, what does seeing come by? There's no good answer. If faith cometh by feeling, what does feeling come by? There's no good answer. If faith cometh by experience, what experience would it take? And there's no good answer. You see, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharp. It is an absolute, uniform, universal standard for everybody. No matter what your experience, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've felt, all men come to the Word of God. The Word of God looks at them objectively and determines in every case they're sinners and they're lost and they're going to hell. And no matter what they've been through, no matter whether they are a 6-year-old kid or a 60-year-old ex-con, or even a con who's in jail, the Word of God's objective entirely to it and tells them the very same answer. You're a sinner, you're under judgment, you're under condemnation, you're going to die and go to hell without Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Uniformly across the board. Now, if faith came by seeing, think about the fact that, don't you think that the men of 34 A.D., when Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, rose again the third day, have a glorious advantage over the rest of us? I mean, wouldn't you think? Somebody that actually saw it, somebody that was actually there that saw him die, buried, and rise, don't you think that would give them a glorious advantage over everybody here? Right? But wait a minute. Doesn't the gospel go to what we now recognize as 2,000 years? All those generations of those 2,000 years of people that need to hear the gospel? I got saved. Here I am all the way up in 2017. I got saved 50 years ago, or nearly near to it. Well, I got saved just like those apostles got saved. My point is, if faith came by seeing, somebody in 34 AD would have a magnificent advantage over every other generation. If faith came by seeing, we should be making movies instead of preaching. I mean, I'm not trying to prime the pump here. We are enough of a movie culture. You've seen enough movies to know what they've done with visual effects. I mean, going back 50 years to old, black and white things, some of them without sound, you could present the gospel on that black and white and then put it beside what we have now for visual effects, and it wouldn't even compare. I mean, brethren, if faith came by seeing, somebody in 2017, 2018 would have a magnificent advantage over somebody in the 1800s or the 1700s. And that's when they had revival. So the Lord established that faith comes by hearing, because he says, I need the hearing to be uniform. And the Word of God makes the hearing uniform. Somebody in 30 AD, somebody in 2017 AD hears the same thing from the same Word of God, has faith in the same thing, and is saved that way and walks that way. Whereas if faith cometh by seeing, nobody in the 1700s had a TV. Nobody in the 1700s had any pictures quite like we have today. Do you see what I'm saying? If faith came by feeling, don't you think that those disciples in 34 AD who had walked with Christ, talked with Christ, eaten with Christ, got to know Him, touched Him, knew Him intimately as a friend, wouldn't they have a glorious advantage over anybody that ever followed after? Because, I mean, they knew Him, they personally loved Him, and yet we're called to get saved the same way they are. That's because we're not saved by feeling. We don't feel we know Him like they knew Him as a man. In fact, we don't. So faith cometh by hearing. The Lord chose hearing instead. If faith came by feeling, why, some of you ladies are much more emotional than some of us men. So the Lord would deal with your feelings, and you'd cry and get saved before any of us would. And yet the Lord called men to preach. What kind of sense does that make? You see what I'm saying? I mean, if the Lord said that we're to be saved, and that faith came by feeling, well, maybe the artistic, sensitive types would be the ones that got saved, and none of us other manly men would even get saved, because our feelings don't get quite so involved. Do you see what I'm saying? You say, why does faith come by hearing? Because God ordained it. It's the way God is. And secondly, it's the way man is. And thirdly, it's the focus on the Word of God. It puts the focus on the Word of God. The Word of God is an entity. The Word of God was and is God manifest in the flesh. It's something. What would you base seeing on? What would you base feeling on? What could God give that reached across the generations all the way from 30 AD to 2017 that would impart faith if not the Word of God? And the answer is the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If faith came by experience, again, you have a 75-year-old who's in prison. He has raped, murdered, stolen, defrauded. and a chaplain comes in or a preacher comes in and gives him the gospel, he can get saved the same way as a kid in our Sunday school class here who has never even thought of any of the things those guys did. But the two people get saved the same way. If faith came by experience, then undoubtedly folks with more experience would have the advantage. But it's not that way. I got saved at 10 before I experienced much of anything. Some of y'all got saved at 4, 5, 6, 7. Well, how does that make sense if faith comes by experience? It doesn't. Faith cometh by hearing. I can give you this furthermore. Take your Bibles, turn to John 17. Why by faith? Why does God insist that it be by faith? Why must it be by faith? Why must faith come by hearing? And why must hearing come by the Word of God? Why can't we see? Why can't we feel? Why can't we smell? Why can't we smell the sulfur in hell? Why can't we taste a little of the taste? Why can't we experience a little of the pain? Why can't we see a vision of it, and then it'd be really real, and we'd all get saved, right? Because none of us want to go there. But that's not how the Lord ordained it. He said, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Look at John chapter 17 and verse 17. Why by faith? Why by hearing? Because of the nature of God, because of the focus upon the Word of God. And then there's this, 17:17. Sanctify them, His disciples, through thy truth. And He says, thy word is truth. Now again, this is about the Word of God, but it has to do with the issue of truth. Now this is what we know from our Bibles. We know that God is true in John 3. And we know that God is the one true God from the Old Testament. There's a problem, because the Muslims say that Allah is God, and that's the true God. We know that the Holy Spirit given, the Comforter, John 14 through 16, is the Spirit of truth. But here's the problem. The American Indians say that they worship the Great Spirit, and that He's the true Spirit. We know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. So Jesus Christ is the truth. Problem with that is that 2 Corinthians says that there's another Christ. There's other folks that worship Christ, but He's not the same Jesus of the Bible that died and rose from the dead. He's another Christ. They've invented Him. So how would we even get it? How would we even know? Well, you would know because of the Word of God. What is consistent across the board is the Word of God. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. If there was another way to get saved, if we got saved by seeing, or saved by feeling, or saved by experiencing, it wouldn't work the same. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, because thy word is truth. How would you know the truth? Let me ask you a question. Thinking about seeing and feeling. Have you ever been in the parking lot, Cub Foods, Walmart, your health club, whatever, walk out to the car or truck, get in, and about the time you start, snap your belt and look up, the car next to you is either pulling in or driving out, then you didn't realize the driver was in the car? Have you ever experienced feeling like, and because of visual effects, that your car is the one moving when it's his car moving? But it's so real that not only do you see it, but there's a little feeling in your gut as if you're moving. If that doesn't get you, how about the Omni Theater? How about watching a TV show where somebody's flying a helicopter and flies over the edge of the cliff, and it's a 5,000-foot drop, and your stomach goes, whomp. Well, you're sitting in your easy chair. It's all visual effect. It's what you're seeing. But even that seeing affects your stomach. Does anybody else get weird feelings in their nether regions when you see something on the boob tube or something of somebody standing on top of a tower or walking a tightrope or something? Man, brothers, on heights, I get these weird tingly feelings down in my lower parts of my body. I'm like, eee, like that. Why would that be? Why would that be? I'm sitting in my chair at home watching my 90-inch color TV. No, I'm just kidding. It's only 20-something inches. But sitting there watching something on National Geographic or something, somebody's watching or walking a tightrope or flies a kite over Niagara Falls or something, and my stomach goes whoomp like that. How often have you been deceived by your eyes? I mean, have you never glanced at somebody across a room and thought it was somebody else? I hate to admit this, but when Renee Peterson started coming to church here, there were times that I walked up behind her. To me, she looked just like my wife from behind. And there was a couple times I walked up behind her and was thinking she was my wife, and I was at the point of laying my hand on her back and realized, oh, baby, that's Renee. I shouldn't ought to do that. But, I mean, just glance, and you think it's your wife, or I glance up, and I see Seth down the hall, only it's Daniel I'm seeing from afar, or Joseph, or something like that. How often have your eyes fooled you? How often have your senses fooled you? How often have your feelings fooled you? How often have you experienced something, and that experience was just something a little off the wall and it didn't really reflect reality? Right? Well, ladies and gentlemen, my point is the issue is truth. Do you know why faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God? Because the Word of God is truth. It's uniform across the board. It is irrelevant of what you see. It is irrelevant of what you feel. It is irrelevant of what you experience, and what you think about it is not even important. It's still true. And so that's the case. Men have this capacity that animals don't have and none of the rest of the creatures in creation have. I don't care how remarkable it is that monarch butterflies migrate across the Gulf. Their brain is the size of a pin, and they do not process words. You're given the capability of processing words. I'm sorry, your dog recognizes tones. He may recognize one or two words, but he does not process words. If you try to train your cat to use the litter box by writing out a paragraph and making him read it, it's not going to work because they don't process words. Men process words. Men are given the capacity to think like that. They're given the capacity to reason. And so it is. God was displeased in Genesis 6 that the imaginations of men's thoughts were only evil continually. He was mad about their meditations, mad about their thoughts, mad about what they thought and meditated upon. And so the Lord gave them an opportunity to get right, to get saved in us. And after you get saved, you're called to process words that are true. He's going to feed your mind with concepts written in words, not picture books, not cartoon books. You're going to have to process it through words. And he's going to take you, come and let us reason together, saith the Lord. You're going to have to reason step by step, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Caricatures do not work that way. God is a God of the book. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, not by feelings, not by experiences, not by seeing. I can say this further. The issue is not just the truth. The issue is also power. Give me just a second and I'll take you to some verses. Think about what God could do if He chose. I mean, He could take us back and show every one of us in a vision of the night all of the gore and the horror of Calvary. Somebody essentially dying for us who's skinned alive, has virtually no skin on his back or belly intact because he has been flayed alive. And you could see him bleed, you could see the blood drip, and you could see him gasp for his last breath. And yet God chose that faith should come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know why? Because the Word is more powerful. Now, I don't misunderstand. I know some things that you see are very powerful. I know that some things that you experience are very powerful. I know that some things that you feel are very powerful. But do you really think that God would choose the least powerful thing to lead to the world getting saved? God chose the most powerful thing, right? Look at Hebrews 4. Now, I know you know this Bible study. Just Hebrews chapter 4, and I'm closing up here pretty quick, so just hang in there. Hebrews chapter 4. I just wish for you to look at the Bible for what it is. It is more powerful than sight. It is more powerful than feeling. It is more powerful than smell or taste or experiencing. It is the most powerful thing because it is the Word of God is God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The Word of God is the most powerful thing. God would not choose some second-class thing. So, and now later, all these years later, man, I wish I'd made it by sight instead. That would have been better. Do you really think that would be the case? Look in Hebrews chapter 4. Now, I know you know it. Hebrews 4, 12. For the Word of God is quick. It's alive, that is. Powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Look in Romans chapter 1. Romans 1. God chose that faith should come by hearing, and that hearing should come by the Word of God, because it's the most powerful thing there is. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Again, I know you can quote it, most likely. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Notice verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are, which are saved, it is the power of God. Preaching. Hearing it, right? Now don't misunderstand. I know this. I know that it's possible to hear auditorially through your ear the Word of God, which is what you're doing now. I also know that visually reading the Bible is hearing it. So I understand that. I hope we're not getting too technical here, but you're not getting saved or walking because you see it. You're walking because you hear it. And though you read it, that's hearing. You understand? Okay, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 3. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, he says to the Corinthians. He says, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He said, now I'm not preaching to you with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but rather in demonstration of the Spirit and a power. How was he demonstrating the Spirit and power? He was preaching the Word of God, right? The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit. They are life. He's not preaching the words of men. He's preaching the words that the Holy Ghost giveth from God. The Word of God is the most powerful thing. Look at the last verse of this sequence, verse 5. Why did he do that? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Because the word that comes through the Spirit of God, written in your Bible, is the most powerful thing there is. It's the issue of power. I have one last thing for you to see, and then I'll let you go. John chapter 3. John 3. So, why by hearing? Why by hearing? Well, first of all, it's the nature of God. And secondly, it's the nature of the Word of God. Because the issue is truth. Because of the issue of power. And then there's this last thing. Look in John chapter 3, go all the way down to verse 30. John the Baptist is talking about his Messiah, his Savior, Jesus Christ, to the men of his generation. He says, he must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. Now that has to be Jesus Christ, right? He that cometh from above, that's where Christ came from. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. Somebody born down here, their whole consciousness is down here. All they can really talk about, unless something is revealed from heaven, is stuff down here, earthly things. But Christ didn't come from down here. He came from up there, through down here, right? Look down in verse 31. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And he that hath seen... And what, rather, he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth. And no man receiveth this testimony. Talking about Christ. Verse 33, he that hath received his testimony. Did you? I mean, he spoke, and you believed it. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You believe that? So you received his testimony, right? Okay, what did you do in receiving his testimony? Well, you got saved, that's true. But, verse 33, he that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. You know what? You know why faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God instead of faith cometh by seeing or faith cometh by feeling or faith cometh by experience? Is because having heard the witness from heaven, it's the seal of your trust. I mean, taking somebody's word at something. There is nothing quite so powerful as a man and a woman standing up here and promising to be true to each other for the rest of their lives. That somebody should, on the basis of their word, give their word that something's going to be true forever. And here you have, you've never seen a thing. You've never experienced anything. You've never felt anything. You've never seen hell. You've never felt what it'll feel like to be in heaven. You've never experienced hell. And you've never experienced anything of what it'll be like to be in heaven. Eye hath not seen, neither hath ear heard, right? And yet, God through Jesus Christ, God through the prophets, God through Paul and Peter, tells you what's true. And did you believe it? Well, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know why the Lord wanted it that way? Because it's the seal. It's you saying that you can set to your seal. You've said, God is true. I've never seen it. I've never felt it. I've never experienced. But God said it's so. And so, in that regard, you compare with Abraham. Remember Abraham? Here's an old man. His flesh now dead. His wife's flesh now dead. Lord takes him out into the starry night. Says, look up in the sky. And that's how many kids I'm going to give you. Do you believe that? And Abraham believed God, and he counted it to him for righteousness. You know why? Because he set to his seal that as impossible as it sounded, God was true. And so that's why faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, because the Lord wants you to trust him on the basis of nothing more than his word, his integrity, and his character. God is not a man that he should lie. It is impossible for God to lie. In order for you to believe the gospel and to have that salvation and that walk, God just determined a long time ago that the word of God is something special. It's powerful. It's the most powerful thing there is, and somebody's going to have to hear the word of God and believe it to get that and that. They're not going to succeed if they try to feel it or experience it or see it. They're going to have to believe my integrity, my character. They're going to have to trust my word to get it. And that's the reason. Why by hearing? For those reasons. The most important being the last, that you trust God for his word. Let's bow our heads and pray.